broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two and our goal, all in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law, the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome indeed to Liberty Roundtable Live. It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen. You don't dare say it's that time of the month, you know what I'm saying? You just say it's that time for James Edwards. The Political Cesspool is his radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org, an award-winning talk show host every Saturday night, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. 3 hours of hard-hitting talk about a race, about life, about religion, about America, about who we are as a people, about how to preserve the Constitutional Republic, and most importantly, about how to... well, represent us in a fair, honest, open way. That is James Edwards. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
You know, my goodness, Sam, it is that time of the month in the best sense of the phrase, and I always look forward to this third Wednesday of every month, and I think we've been doing it for years and years and years. It's always something I look forward to on my calendar, but I don't remember in all of these appearances that I've made on this program, have we ever actually gotten to me this early in a segment? Are you feeling okay? I mean, are you a little tired? I know you're on the road. You're doing everything, man. You've got your hands in so many pies across this country. Wherever good work is being done, you're involved in it if you're not there physically. And I know you're up on the road again today.
Yes, indeed. God save the Republic. Four words is what I'm all about 24/7, ladies and gentlemen. That is the truth. I am on the road. I am live from Freedom Fest today, tomorrow. Let's see, what day is that? Friday, Saturday, all 4 days live from Freedom Fest, ladies and gentlemen. And he's right. So yesterday we had a refeed, a travel day, or a rebroadcast of a previous program. You know those programs, ladies and gentlemen, I specifically cherry pick. So you're hearing the literal best of broadcasts I can give you. And you know what? Probably the last 3 or 4 years, collect probably 60 or 70 of them. Sometimes there is a required travel day. That was yesterday. And it's interesting. We left basically like at 10 at night, Monday night, 10:30 at night. We literally drove straight through 10 hours. And then we got there, got everything all geared up, got our hotel room early, took a nap. We've been just running and getting everything ready ever since. We met with our team last night, had a dinner, and got the, I don't dare say the battle plan because people will take that out of context. So we got our strategic initiatives in place, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure that we have a peaceful, incredible educational opportunity at Freedom Fest. So we got that done, got some good, we went to Crazy Horse last night, and they got a presentation, which is a laser show, music, and you stand there and watch this thing on the mountain, projectors and a whole presentation. It was tremendous, about the Native Americans, a little bit about American freedom, all tied together, just very fascinating indeed. So we went and did that, and then saw Mount Rushmore all lit up and got some photos and had just a phenomenal time.
Oh, really?
There.
Cool.
Then got some rest, and now we're here ready to rock and roll. And the reason I went to you so early, James, is I want more of a conversational style. And I want to cover, we weren't live yesterday, so I don't have notes from yesterday, but I do have notes from Monday. And I think it's so critical sometimes, and what I've started to do, because I think it's really important. You know, our show notes are just as relevant a couple of days ago as they were now, as they were then. Because of the topics we talk about and the focus we have on those topics, etc. And so what I'm starting to do now is introduce my co-hosts early, or my guests early, and then oftentimes if they're consistent co-hosts and they're not just there for a specific topic or whatever, then What I try to do is bring that information to the co-host and give them a chance to respond on previous news headlines. So, for example, we had on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. The goal is to make sure you know who Lowell is. He's the Utah coordinator for Campaign for Liberty. He's also with the Ron Paul Institute.org. And we talked about a reminder, he's got a political leadership school going on in Utah, July 31st. That is the last Saturday, the last day of the month. And I want to let you know where this is. It's FACL. Foxtrot Alpha Charlie Lima. FACL. First. Oh, so we're doing the best we can. Just hear me, okay? All right, so it's FACL-training.org. And anyway, it's incredible training all across the United States, and look up your area and you can learn about it in your area. You with me, James?
Yeah, I hear you. Of course, our intrepid producer did make mention of the fact that it seems to be a little latency going on, or a little lag, and it got a little spotty there for a minute there. But hey,
all right, no problem. Let me know when that happens. But the FACL-training.org is a website where people can learn all across the country, and I want people to know about that training. We also talked about the preciousness of remaining human, a new website called PanData, that's PANDATA.org that we talked about. And then we talked about this incredible doctor. His name is Charles Hoff. He's a Canadian doctor. Now, listen to this, James. This guy literally gave people, 900-plus people, the COVID vaccine shots. He believed in it. He did it. But then he started to see things that concerned him big time. 62% of his patients vaccinated by COVID vaccines have permanent damage to their hearts. HealthImpactNews.com. He freaked out. He's blowing the whistle. Now they're all melting down. They said he was a rock star. Now he has no credibility, they claim. All right, hopefully we can get James's take on that.
Oh, no, I'm here. I'm sorry, Sam. Yes, I didn't know you were pausing there, but we've heard a lot of the testimony and people who have claimed or have passed, in fact, have even passed from a very strange case of enlarged hearts, even in some cases very young and otherwise healthy boys, teenagers, that are having enlarged hearts as a result of apparently the vaccination. And I think at the end of the day, it becomes this simple. You know you're going to have, if you're in relatively good health, or even if you're just in relatively poor health, just not knocking on death's door, you've got the 99% chance of surviving this particular virus should you get it. So why risk? I mean, to me, and as the decision that I make as a husband and as a father, why risk taking something that was rushed, that is experimental, that for which you have no recourse if something goes wrong? You can't sue these pharmaceutical companies. They are completely shielded from anything like that. If you're weighing the unknown of taking the vaccine versus what we do know about if you contract COVID, the risk versus reward all leads you in one direction. So listen, everybody should be able to make whatever decisions they feel as though is best for their health and the health of their families. But for me, I mean, my decision has been made. It's going to be interesting, Sam, to see how much further and how much more draconian businesses and states and governments become with regards to vaccine passports in Europe, especially in places like France and the UK. It's much more stringent than it is here, but I don't know if we've heard the last of this yet, and it'll be interesting to see if things change when winter approaches.
There's no question the battle is on. We see certain states now, certain counties even going door-to-door to knock-knock, here's your vax kind of stuff. We're going to be talking to county sheriffs across the country about that at Freedom Fest while we're here, talking about how we should we respond, what should we do about that kind of stuff. Now, I find that interesting, though, about these physicians. For example, take this Dr. Charles Hoff, this Canadian doctor. You know, they say he's a kook now. He's not credible. He's lost all his credibility. He doesn't know. He's going against the scientific community. He's got an axe to grind. He's a political hack, they say. But my question to all of you is this. You know, take a doctor like Charles Hoff or some of these people. They believed in the vaccines, folks. He vaccinated, admittedly, over 900 people. Okay? But then he saw honesty is the issue here. He saw the devastating results of his actions. He was honest enough to admit it. He says that what happens is these vaccines give you tiny blood clots, so small that you have to take special testing to see them. But when you do, you realize that, hey, these vaccines are giving people blood clots, which might be a tiny blood clot today, but eventually will lead down the road to serious health implications. I bring this up because they want you to believe that it's just a whacked out doctor here or there. The rest are all aboard for this. And it isn't true. Doctors are waking up every day going, oh my goodness, what have I done? They're waking up every day going, this isn't what I thought it was. This isn't what I was promised. This is, hey, do they? And at first the doctors start out kind of ignorant or innocent. And they kind of go, oh my gosh, do you know this is happening? And then the scientific community shuts them down. Yes, we know it's happening and you're an idiot. And how dare you blow the whistle? How dare you blow the whistle on this? Very, very serious indeed, James. But I find that interesting. Why would these doctors all destroy their careers and come up with this stuff if there's not factual evidence to it? Why would more and more and more doctors come aboard and go, wait a minute, I was for this thing. You know what? I bought Operation Warp Speed. I believed in Trump and the scientific community and Fauci and everybody, and I was for this stuff. But then all of a sudden they're like, wait a minute, there's something wrong. That's a critical question to ask, ladies and gentlemen. All right? And then we'll get to the 150 million people pushed into extreme poverty and everything else downstream from the coronavirus government responses in seconds. But when we get back, I want James Edwards to answer that or discuss that. Because these doctors are literally standing up, getting destroyed, knowing full well, but saying, I've got to do it because it's my oath. We'll talk about it in seconds.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, James Edwards, co-hosting Liberty Roundtable live today. James in Tennessee. I'm in South Dakota, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this Dr. Charles Hoff, Canadian doctor. He says 62% of my patients that got the COVID-19 vaccine have permanent heart damage. And he's basically saying, look, this stuff creates tiny blood clots. It's a serious problem. You can't even detect it with normal testing. You got to have these special tests to determine. But why would these doctors, more and more of them, start to stand up and go, something's not right? They have an oath of office, first do no harm, or an oath of doctorship. I don't know what words to use here. But anyway, these people have consciences, many of them, and they're going, wait a minute. And this just proves that these physicians are being lied to. They're buying the scientific community's information hook, line, and sinker. But some of them wake up as they dig in and go, wait a minute now. And so Dr. Pierre Corey pled with the public to listen, pled with people to say ivermectin is the answer. Don't go for these drugs and these vaccines. This doctor now, basically, who was all for the vaccines, now Dr. Charles Hoff says, look, not so fast. Well, they love the guy, but now they say the guy's a quack. Now he's lost his reputation, his income's chopped in half, but he still is standing strong. You got to give him kudos. But this is just, in my opinion, positive proof of the health problems that we're starting to see that they're not admitting to, James.
Sam, you're bringing up a very interesting topic of conversation right here. So, again, to repeat what you've shared with the audience, you have this doctor who was highly renowned and very esteemed in his field. And when he was going along with the narrative, he continued to receive those accolations. Now that he has been led by honesty and by his own observations and by his own practice to say, hang on, wait a minute. This might not be everything we first thought it was, and has this difference of opinion. I would love to see more honesty like that. Why in the world, on something that is so new, that people know so little about, must there be this forced consensus? And when I say forced consensus, I mean a consensus that is mandated, and if you don't go along with the prevailing trends, then you're completely ostracized and you're made out to be a quack. There's several examples of this in different fields as well. I was interviewing a university professor who during the height of the Black Lives Matter riots, when cities were being burned and everything else, he said everybody on the email list, the other professors and staff at the university were just all in favor of this, and there was just no diversity of opinion at all. There was nobody that was pushing back on this, saying, hey, you know, this might not be a good thing. And then we saw it also in the medical field as well, and that was with these particular riots, when everybody else was supposed to be wearing masks. You couldn't be within 6 feet of your family at Thanksgiving. In fact, you couldn't even have Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and Christmas gatherings were supposed to have been canceled last year if you were going to be a good citizen, and they told us all of this, but then they said, well, you know, there's no
evidence. And that's unless you're a politician. And that's unless you're a politician. Then you can lie to the public and then scamper off to your own Thanksgiving, right?
Well, that's right. But then, of course, when you had thousands upon thousands of people shoulder to shoulder at any of these riots across the country in the wake of George Floyd last year, the same medical community that we're talking about now said, well, there's no evidence that it could have spread there. I mean, it's total quackery, total buffoonery, but there is such pressure at the height of the different fields and professions to go along with whatever is politically correct, whatever everybody else is saying. There is no debate that, you know, how in the world could, in a situation like this, again, with it being so new, with it being so unknown, with these vaccines being so rushed, you're telling me there's not any doctors out there that are pushing back? Well, of course they are, but the ones who are marginalized, they're shut up, they're shunned, they're not given a spotlight. You don't see, I can't tell you the last time I've seen, or maybe perhaps I've never seen one, a doctor that has gotten on television to offer a different point of view for people to consider. It's really astonishing.
Now, let me stop you there. I think it is astonishing, but take this Dr. Hoff that I just highlighted. There's also another Dr. Pierre Corey, who we've highlighted in the past. Dr. Pierre Corey testified before Congress and said, please, ivermectin is your friend and is your answer. And you know what? I want this to be looked into. They say that I'm into politics, but I'm not. I just have a doctor's creed to first do no harm. And I look at this and I really know from experience and exhaustive, extensive testing that, you know what? Ivermectin works. There are answers. There are ways to solve this thing. And he literally pled with Congress to do something, to make a difference, too. Okay, but there's a group called Frontline Doctors now that are all speaking out. There's thousands of them, but they're all being shut down. And so when you say you don't see something on TV or whatever else, oftentimes it's not that these doctors won't stand up. It's because they don't have a chance.
That's right.
To speak up, ladies and gentlemen. And here's the, in my opinion, where the rubber really meets the road. There's 150 million people pushed into extreme poverty, 130 million people threatened by starvation, 1.2 million child deaths from the lockdowns, Lockdowns are deadly in developing countries where people are hand-to-mouth, etc., James. This is serious business, and they're literally shutting people down. The reason for the indoctrination and the dumbing down of Americans is now obvious. There is no pandemic, only fear, writes Gary D. Barnett. The bottom line is that COVID-19 is not a novel virus at all. There is no pandemic, and there are no variants of this. Now listen, the entire state narrative is a lie. The real bioweapon here, ladies and gentlemen, listen, is the vaccine. It's experimental gene therapy, deceptively called a vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, understand this. Dr. David Martin, PhD, speaks out on this. There is no Delta variant. There is no novel coronavirus. All right, novel coronavirus, COVID-19, was patented in several decades ago. VaccineImpact.com with the details of that. All right, this is serious business, James. And bottom line is, vaccine mania has now led to all-out suppression of COVID treatments. So you will not see doctors speaking out about that and about these things unless you listen to significant news organizations that have the guts to take it on, to bring up Dr. Kaur, to bring up Dr. Hoff, to bring up frontline physicians, as we are doing now, to bring up ivermectin and other precursor solutions. The only way you're going to get it is if you change the news, the people that you're listening to, James.
Yeah, it's just any doctors, as you're saying, that are is equally well credentialed as any of the people that go on to carry water for the narrative. They use their science, their experience, to form a different conclusion. There's just no debate about it. They are denied a microphone, and then they are, of course, ridiculed as being in some way deficient. And again, it comes back to this peer pressure that I was talking about in the other examples that I gave in recent months. But of course, this isn't a new trend at all. This has been going on for, well, probably for the history of recorded civilization, but certainly for as long as I've been alive. You have this peer pressure in the different fields. And when it comes to an issue like this, for whatever reason, the establishment is pushing this particular outcome. That can remain debated. But obviously, you get the picture very quickly. You are not supposed to dissent. And if you do, you're going to suffer these problems that the doctor you're mentioning now is suffering. And that alone is enough to make most people, whether it be a university professor, whether it be a doctor, whether it be whatever, they don't want to suffer the social shame, no matter what, no matter if it's the right thing to do, no matter if it's going to actually save lives. And it's interesting to say the least. It's certainly much more than that. It's a little frightening, but thank God for doctors like this. And speaking of doctors, man makes plans and God laughs. My father has been in and out of the hospital so many times in recent months with a completely non-related occurrence. He's actually back in the hospital right now. My kids are in vacation Bible school, so I've been a little skittish this week and a little bit off kilter. But I read about this, Sam, but I haven't actually seen it yet. Supposedly there was some sort of a showdown between Rand Paul and Fauci just this week where things got heated again. Do you know anything about that?
About the battle between Rand Paul, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a significant battle. Rand saying he schooled Fauci. They've been at this battle for a long time, though. It's just getting more and more divisionary, or whatever you want to call it. Fauci literally is being ripped apart by Rand Paul, and Fauci just doesn't have any scientific backing or evidence. Rand Paul eating him for lunch. The problem is that the mainstream press is not willing to tell you much about that narrative. They're just painting Rand Paul to be a kook about it. They're saying Rand Paul's out of step with America. Rand Paul's out of step with the scientific community. Rand Paul's out of step with... So we'll tell the story when we come back about that. The mainstream press, in my opinion, manipulating it. I'll give you some headlines when we come back to prove it. James is right, though. And the question becomes, how much will this divide America? How much authority do states and some of these government bureaucrats have? I got a few other questions. We'll talk about this more in details with James Edwards. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Canadian province of British Columbia has declared a state of emergency for 14 days amid a surge in wildfires that have forced hundreds of people from their homes. The worst is yet to come, according to Mark Farnsworth, BC's Ministry of Public Safety. He said 299 blazes were actively burning across BC on Tuesday afternoon, including 18 that started over the previous 2 days. Thomas Barak, a billionaire who chaired President Trump's inaugural fund, was arrested Tuesday in Los Angeles, California, and charged with illegally lobbying on behalf of the United Arab Emirates. A 7-count indictment filed by prosecutors in Brooklyn, New York, alleged that Barak failed to register as a lobbyist. Frequent and bright meteors flying through the sky are upon us thanks to the Perseids meteor shower, which will go through August 24th. The meteors come from the comet Swift-Tuttle, which orbits the sun every 133 years. It was last in our solar system in 1992. This is USA Radio News.
Nothing is more important than your vote. Now, lawmakers across America are pushing for election integrity to make sure your vote really counts. All this week, Newsmax's Sean Spicer and Lindsay Keith are exposing the flaws in our voting systems and how to fix them. Make sure you watch Spicer and Company tonight on Newsmax for the real truth about your vote and how Texas, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and more are in the crosshairs. Everyone is watching Newsmax. It's on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. And you can watch Newsmax on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Plus, download the free Newsmax app on your phone and start watching now. Newsmax is your trusted news source. Every night, watch great shows, starting with Spicer & Company, Greg Kelly, Grant Stinchfield, Cortez & Pellegrino, and a lot more. Go to Newsmax for real news. Watch it today.
President Biden wants to remove another Trump-era law that worked on the U.S.-Mexico border. Dan Naraki explains.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz has introduced a piece of legislation that would make an executive order from the Trump administration that allows border agents to expel illegal immigrants to stop the spread of COVID into law. His SHIELD Act would codify Title 42, keeping the Biden administration from ending the policy. He tells Fox News that the measure is necessary to keep President Biden's open border policy from coming to fruition.
We're on pace to have over 2 million people cross our border illegally this year. And what does the Biden administration want to do? It wants to repeal the laws that have enabled us to keep out people who are COVID positive, even though that is driving up the rates of COVID infections. And this is radical open border policy that doesn't make any sense and that is endangering American health.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, James Edwards on your radio. Even bottom of the hour news had Ted Cruz crashing them on border issues, saying you're letting the border leak like a sieve. It's bringing coronavirus into America. The confusion on their policies is legendary. But you know what? I got news for Ted Cruz. He says it doesn't make any sense. Well, Ted, that's right. If you stand for America, if you believe in the United States of America, you believe this is the greatest country on the face of the earth, then their policies make no sense whatsoever. But if your goal is to destroy the Republic and you're a flat-out communist or a socialist and you hate America and hate what we stand for, then everything they're doing does indeed make sense. Proof in the pudding is this Rand Paul debate with Anthony Fauci in the latest hearing. Ladies and gentlemen, Rand Paul sliced and diced Anthony Fauci to the point where Fauci literally melted down. Senator Rand Paul absolutely had no mercy for Fauci in a heated back and forth that they had during a Senate hearing on Tuesday. So yesterday, Paul essentially accused Fauci of openly lying to Congress about money or U.S. funds that ended up going directly to the coronavirus research in communist China. Fox News reported the details as well. Everybody's reporting it, but the headlines are kind of manipulating against Rand Paul, saying he was just too belligerent and ignoring science and everything else. But the truth is, in Rand Paul's questioning of Fauci, Paul literally stepped close, they say, to the line of accusing Fauci of lying to Congress. I'm going to flat out say Fauci's been lying to a lot of us for a lot of reasons. In previous testimony, sorry, in which he said that he denied that they had never funded gain of function research in China, citing the paper on research about bat coronaviruses, Paul said that the United States money has essentially gone to hazardous and controversial research. And then, of course, Fauci strongly objected to that. He said, I have never lied to Congress, and I don't retract that statement. Okay, fine, Fauci. But the research that Rand Paul referenced, they say, well, that's not really gain of function. But now what we're doing is playing with the term gain of function, and what does it mean? How far along the quote, we got to reproduce this virus, we got to manipulate it so that it can have powerful spreading capabilities and infection capabilities. So then they start to say that, you know what, Rand Paul, you don't know what you're talking about, quite frankly, and I want to say this professionally. Anyway, the battle is on, but here's the thing, and here's what I really want to kind of mention this. Each side is just digging in further, creating a greater chasm in America, James.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, and of course, Rand Paul has medical training, too. He's a different kind of doctor, but he would certainly have a little bit more of an understanding than your average typical layman. So it's good to see him doing this. It's good to see somebody standing up to Fauci and just all this lauding. I mean, I think, folks, not to oversimplify it, but if you see the media speaking with one voice and holding up somebody like Fauci to be a hero, you should know, I think we know by experience, to believe the exact opposite. Anybody the media is celebrating and presenting to you as somebody worthy of your trust, run the opposite direction. I know that sounds a little oversimplified, but I think it's a good rule of thumb. And with regard to this, you just go back to it's hard. We were driving out, my wife and I, and we had gone to take our kids to a birthday party, and we were coming back, and I said, we turned here last time. She said, no, we went straight. I said, no, we turned here on the way down. She said, no, we went straight. I know it. We went straight. And as it turned out, I happened to be right, and I stuck with it, and I turned. I said, no, you'll see. This is the way we came. It is hard. The reason I bring up that anecdotal story is it's difficult. It was difficult. I even had a moment of pause, even though I knew I was right. When she was so confident that she was right, I began to question. I was like, well, maybe I am wrong. But this is the thing. When you have so many people telling you something and you have this drumbeat over and over and over and over, this is deadly, this is deadly, we must wear masks, we must get vaccinated, you got to get vaccinated, the vaccines are safe, you have all this other evidence suggesting to you otherwise, it is difficult to stand in the gap between this constant pressure and what you know instinctively and what you feel and believe to be correct. And at the end of the day, though, you have to go back to this basic truth, and that is the fact that this is not a deadly virus. It is not a deadly virus.
All right, now let's talk about this even more, because in this heated exchange then, Fauci started going ballistic and say, you don't know, you're not even the right, you know, discipline of a physician to be able to deal with this. And so then Rand Paul, medical doctor, calmly brings proof of gain-of-function research conducted by Dr. Shi, or S-H-I, Dr. Shi, at the Wuhan lab, including the National Institutes of Health funding number. Fauci then, visibly shaking, starts yelling and insulting Ron Paul. So he literally melts down and starts insulting. Well, this reminds me of back quite a while ago, when Rand Paul made some claims about masks and everything else, and Fauci argued with him and literally kind of melted down similarly, but not as not so blatant, but he melted down to some degree. And then it turned out that the media lied and backed Fauci, but then they all got caught lying, and well, then Fauci had to come clean and say, yeah, Rand Paul, you were right. I was saying what I was saying so that people didn't get confused, but I didn't really tell the truth, kind of a thing. This is interesting, though. Now the meltdown getting even worse between these two people, and it all depends on which side you dig in on how aggressive you get. But Rand Paul literally made Fauci start just, I mean, he got caught so much with the literal funding number, the proof of gain of function research through this Dr. Shi, and that Fauci was behind it, that the American people paid for this gain of function research, and then Fauci just literally melting down. If you see the hearing, if you hear our side of the story, you get the truth. Otherwise, you just think that Rand Paul's a buffoon and Fauci's right. But why melt down and turn into insults if you've got the facts on your side, James?
Not exactly, and he did, and it was an incredible overreaction based upon what little I've been able to see. And see, and that's another thing, Rand Paul hitting him with facts, with scientific evidence, with data. And I know if you're not aware of what all of these terms mean, or you don't have a firm grasp of it, your eyes can sort of glaze over, but it is important that you have these facts there for the evidence that goes above and beyond what we instinctively know, which, again, goes back to what I said a moment ago. You just know that this is not a deadly virus. And I have three children, Sam. You have more than twice that many. But if in some bizarre scenario, if I had to choose, do you want your child to get a case of the coronavirus or take the vaccine? I'm taking the former. You know, there's just no doubt about that. There's just too much.
There's no question about it. There's no question about it. And the problem primarily here, James, is narrative. So how much authority do state and local jurisdictions and officials have over us, ladies and gentlemen? Fauci basically got caught lying, saying millions could die from the coronavirus in the United States. Literally, we have like 610,000 people that have died. At least that's according to their own numbers. But we question those numbers because pneumonia deaths, flu deaths, all these other deaths have gone
down. Nobody had flu. Not one person had the flu last year. Yeah.
That's right. Insurance companies don't even claim greater death. Their chart tables are very similar. It's slight changes, but nothing drastic or whatever else. Well, here's the problem. Now they're literally attacking our narrative. But what they say now is that, you know what, if you don't have accurate information, if you're a misinformation agent, such as Sam and James, then you need to be shut down and taken off of all distribution channels. Well, here's what I find fascinating. So Fauci claimed that millions would die in the U.S. because of the coronavirus. That didn't happen at all. Okay, we're not even to a million yet. In fact, we're literally 400,000 away from a million. Now, could eventually they claim enough people die from this? Yes, because now what they're doing is blame it on the Delta variant of this thing. And the problem with that is now they're starting to claim people who died from the vaccines died from the coronavirus. So they might get to the eventual numbers that Fauci talks about, but they're doing it by hook and by crook. And we're catching them at every stage, every element when they do this. But here's my point. Fauci has been caught lying about masks. He's been caught lying now about the numbers. He's been caught literally lying about gain-of-function research to the point where it's time that Fauci's taken down off all channels, James.
No, I agree.
He's a disinformation agent.
Well, this is another thing that people forget, and it was brought to me, and I was shown the proof of it by a listener of my program last year. This wasn't Fauci's first rodeo. He did the same thing and was equally wrong, I might add, back in the 80s and 90s when when AIDS first burst onto the scene so vehemently. And, of course, we know now, of course, that AIDS is not transmittable by air, and that it typically afflicts homosexuals who engage in a promiscuous lifetime. But he was saying it had nothing to do with homosexuality. So it just flat out wrong, flat out wrong.
Well, and credibility crisis to say the least. And the credibility crisis to say the least. Not only did, in my opinion, just Fauci need to be taken down from all channels for a misinformation agent, but he needs to be arrested and criminally charged. Anyway, we'll get back. Got a lot to talk about with James Edwards on your radio.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, James Edwards, Sam Bushman on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. I am live from Freedom Fest, James, in Tennessee. The right to be let alone, ladies and gentlemen, is being violated. Return Fauci and Rand Paul going head-to-head. Rand Paul slaughtering Fauci. Fauci melting down, building the insults. That's what happens when you have nothing left, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? Charlie Kirk, AmericanFreedomReport.com, asks a very interesting question. Whatever happened to my body, my choice, James?
That was exactly the point we were making during the break, as this is supposed to be some great mantra for enlightened Americans and progressive Americans. It's my body, my choice. If you're a woman and you engage in relations that go against God's law and you have an inconvenient pregnancy, well, you can murder that baby, and that's actually something to be celebrated. That's something in line with what the founders envisioned in the Constitution, so they say, that you have this opportunity to murder your own baby as it grows inside your womb. It's your body, your choice, and this is a great freedom that we have in America, and this is what it's being an American is all about. Well, what about the my body, my choice when it comes to taking a completely unproven vaccine that we don't know what the long-term effects are?
Hey, you got to use the word experimental. Over and over.
Experimental. There you go. That's what I was grasping for. What about that? If you have the my body, my choice mantra can cover you murdering your own child, how about my body, my choice with regards to whether or not you want to take a hastily produced experimental vaccine for which you have no recourse if something goes wrong, when weighed against what we keep coming back to, the very mild nature of this virus? What about my body, my choice then? And I still see the tremors, Sam. There seems to be some ebb and flow out there with regard to which direction this thing is ultimately going to go. I mean, right now, of course, the NBA Finals just wrapped up last night, and the arena was packed. I mean, not an empty seat in the house, so it looks as though things are going back to normal. But in other parts of the world, as I said, in Western Europe specifically, that's not so much the case. You've got all these rumors about variants and an increased push by Biden to make sure every American is vaccinated. Well, again, what happened to my body, my choice? I don't know if we've heard the end of this yet. I wouldn't be shocked at all if there's some sort of a complete about face come fall and winter.
I don't know what they're going to do, but I know this. They have not ended their march to this. They found too much pay dirt. The American people have been too docile and too willing to go along, not willing to stand up. I get that for a first couple of days, people would be like, oh, man, we got to do this. Right from the start, we haven't been buying the lie. We've been kind of telling you that this is a sham and a scam and a game. But a lot of people went along at first, and I'm not here to blame anybody for not really realizing and for going along. But you know what? A year and a half later, Fauci caught in lie after lie after lie after lie. All the good solutions to prevent coronavirus and to save people's lives literally being shut down by these goons. Literally critical stuff here, folks. Ivermectin, one of the most powerful solutions. Vaccine mania, though, has led to shutting down of all real treatments that could help people and bless people's lives and save lives and make a difference. Fauci just simply melting down, getting caught over and over in lies. But they literally funded gain-of-function research, and now they're lying about it. But now we got to ask, what happened to my body, my choice? Kirk asked the question first that I saw, and right. But we got to also discuss this right to be left alone discussion. What do you do when COVID strike force teams come knocking to your door? John Whitehead wrote an article about this. But this is where they're going. It's already started in certain counties in certain states. The specific county that I know about is a county in North Carolina. But now I hear they're doing it all over the place. A lot of it's volunteer, meaning private organizations are doing it. You can't go to college if you don't get a vaccination, or you can't this and that. But now they're literally knocking on your door and saying, do you want to take the vaccine? And, you know, Lowell brought that up and how draconian that is. But I also brought up what they're doing, though, when they knock on your door is they're documenting that you're opting out. They're documenting your resistance to such. They're putting a face to a name and an address tied to your personal dossier relating to censuses, et cetera, all the way down. This is serious because they're literally documenting who, one, goes along, two, who resists, et cetera. This is a big, big psyop, James.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, there's no doubt about it. And aren't we supposed to be able to make these decisions? I think especially it's sacrosanct with regards to medical decisions that affect your health, that you should be able to choose whether or not you're going to do this or that. And I'm not entirely anti-vaccine. I mean, we were all vaccinated as children. I think the vaccines, even the elementary ones, the fundamental ones that everybody gets, the polio or whatever, I'm not so sure that they haven't changed since my coming up years in the 80s. But with this one, this is just a whole other thing. And I had heard that, Sam. Is that in fact true? I mean, if you don't mind repeating it for the audience, have there been actual, and I mean going beyond rumors on the internet, actual evidence and cases of the man coming to your door and knocking on your door and saying, hey, are you ready to get your vaccine? I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yes, there is isolated examples where there is positive proof. Fox News is one of the people that have reported on this. So this has already started in certain counties and in certain places. Biden introduces door-to-door vaccine information effort. Biden announcing door-to-door push to vaccinate. The White House initiating door-to-door outreach for vaccines. But they say that now the push starts. WesternJournal.com with a piece of this pie discussion as well.
Well, the government's just so out of touch in the media.
I mentioned this county in North Carolina. It's Mecklenburg. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's Charlotte.
Mecklenburg, North Carolina. Anyway, that's where it started already for sure, documented by Western Journal and others.
Yeah, so that's Mecklenburg County includes Charlotte, which is, of course, a major city in the entire country, especially in North Carolina. I just think the government and the media are so out of touch with what a vast percentage of this country, how they are viewed by a vast percentage of this country. If they wanted me to take the virus, vaccine, they should say, listen, we don't want you to take this vaccine. Yeah, if the medical community and the media and the Biden administration said, stay away from this vaccine, I would probably look into it at that point. So going this door-to-door push by the government, are you kidding me? I mean, we're with the government, we're with the medical community, we're with the Biden administration, we're here to help you. That might sell in New York and Los Angeles, but it's probably going to have the exact opposite effect with the heartland than they intended to have. We'll see where it goes, but it just seems a real try hard that they would do that.
Well, what it tells to me, Harry, what it tells me is you don't have evidence on your side. When you literally have to force vaccines in government schools paid for by the American tax dollars, when you have to force masks for you to walk into any government building or whatever else, when you have to force these things down the throats of the American people, at some point you go, you say two things. Number one, why do they have to force this? If they really have truth on their side, can't they make compelling arguments to encourage us all? Number one. Number two, it just shows, why do they have this resistance? Do the American people know something they're not admitting that we know? I mean, we know they're lying. They know we know they're lying, right? On and on and on, but they're still lying. kind of discussion, you got to ask yourself about that and say, I think the people know more than they admit. They want you to believe just a small minority is kind of vaccine paranoia or crazy. The truth is that, you know what? They know full well that enough Americans are educated on vaccines to where we flat out don't want them. They've made missteps on vaccines and got people sick so many times now that they've lost so much credibility that the American people just do not trust them. That's the bottom line, James.
Yeah, you're onto something right there, Sam. I mean, again, as husbands and fathers and heads of households, we're always going to want to make the right decision to keep our family safe, no matter what it is. I mean, the government doesn't have to send agents to my door to say, you know what, you shouldn't give your kids cocaine. Well, I know I shouldn't give my kids cocaine. I've seen what, you know, we know what drugs do. We know that that's not a good idea, so we're going to make that decision. They don't have to have these national ads to and constant browbeating to get us to know that, because we see the effects of that. We've read about it. We believe it. But this, it's just totally different. I take the exact opposite approach. So if it's something so glaringly obvious as they present this to be, we would have drawn the same conclusion, but it's not, and so we haven't.
Sorry, James, here's what they're calling it. The Doses to Doors program has already started in North Carolina. Doses to doors.
Now, do they actually bring it with them so if they can?
Yeah.
So this is taking missionary work to
You're
a whole
darn
different.
Right. Stop. Hold on. Not only are they bringing the vaccines with them, but they're bringing a healthcare professional that can deliver the vaccines. I don't know what you say at your kitchen table.
On the spot. Now that, okay, so this isn't just an information campaign where they come and talk to you and say, hey, you know, if you decide you want to do this, go to your local physician or Walgreens or wherever they're giving them away, and they're giving them away for free. So they actually bring them. That's scary as hell, actually, that they would actually be there with the shot on your door. I mean, you're only a stone's throw away at that point from them just hog-tying you and forcing you to take it. The peer pressure at that moment coming from somebody with some sort of an official capacity will compel people. Some people, weak-minded people, will go for this at this point. You know, if you're getting it on the door and they've got it with them, and you know what the acceptable response is supposed to be. And I think a lot of people will take it because of this and end up regretting it, perhaps fatally so.
I'm looking up this one as we speak right now, but there's another county starting at 2 called Boone County, starting door-to-door vaccine outreach. Boone, B-O-O-N-E, County. So we've got evidence of this, and it all depends on how draconian it's becoming. But Boone County Health Department starting door-to-door COVID-19 vaccine outreach. And they say it's a new strategy to help people get the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, they call it a volunteer outreach through a, quote, vaccine ambassadors program. In this case, they're having discussions about how the vaccine is so important and why vaccine to move forward. Volunteers are trained on how to answer vaccine questions and how to inform people about vaccination clinics. So this is a more of an information campaign in many counties, but some are taking it even further, James.
And we'll see where it goes, because this thing is just now apparently beginning to be rolled out, and we'll see how much more widespread it's going to go. But, of course, under the Biden administration, where the answer is always more government and less personal freedoms, it wouldn't surprise me to see. Well, I guess it'll depend on what the pushback is and how many people that they get to bend the knee at the door of the I guess it's a doctor or somebody with the shot in the hand. It'd be interesting to see if they get good results, if they get people who were otherwise unvaccinated and they get them to start taking them, they'll probably ratchet up the attempts. Maybe they'll be coming to our door one day, Sam, and wouldn't that be interesting? And what a great segment of radio that was.
Next headline says door-to-door vaccinations are starting in Texas. So it's all over the country in unique pockets right now. Hour one of the can with James Edwards. Hour two coming up. I am live from Freedom Fest. If you can be here live, I'd love to see you and eat dinner with you. If you're not here, get the streaming option at freedomfest.com. For Sam and James, back in a flash. Hour one of the can, two coming up. God save us all. And God save the Republic of the United States of America.